You may be seated.
I've told all my troubles goodbye. Goodbye to each tear and each sigh. This world where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for a land in the sky. I walk and I talk with my Lord. I feast every day on His Word. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. I'm gonna ride with my Lord in the sky. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. I won't have the blues anymore when I step across to that shore. I'll never pine, for I'll leave behind my heartaches and tears evermore. A day, maybe two, then goodbye. Tomorrow I'll rise up and fly. Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout on a flood. I'm gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, 'cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. I'm gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. Heaven is near and I can stay here.
So goodbye, world, goodbye.
Amen. Looking forward to that day. Say goodbye to this world and hello to our Savior. Amen. If you would take your Bibles with me, we're going to turn to Matthew and chapter 7 this morning. Matthew and chapter 7. When you find your place there, if you would please stand to your feet with me as you're able to as we read God's Word this morning. Matthew, first gospel, and chapter 7. We'll read verses 7 through 12. I'll have you help me read the verse 7, and then I'll read verse 8. And then you take the odd numbers, and I'll take the even numbers from verse 7 down to verse 12 in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. All right, if you'll please join me on that, ready, begin. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Our Father, we're grateful for your word. We're thankful that you've given us the opportunity to meet together as your children, as those who have been saved. Lord, I ask if there's any here that don't know you as their personal Savior, that they would make that decision today. Lord, convict them of their sin and help them to realize that you're the only way to heaven. Lord, I ask that you be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Fill him with your might, with your power. Lord, give him wisdom, and Lord, give us wisdom to receive what you have for us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, if you make sure your cell phones are turned off, silent, vibrate, whatever you have to do, throw it out the door. Give it to a teenager. They'll help you figure it out if you need to, but that would be helpful. Matthew chapter number 7, as we look at this passage here and talking about prayer this morning. Christian, how often is prayer accessible to us, but how often is it neglected by Christians today? You see this these verses here that the Lord gives us, ask and it shall be given you. God's not asking anything difficult from us. Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know that God's not asking something difficult from us just to go to him in prayer. You know, prayer is simply just talking to God. Just talking to God. Prayer is seeking God on the behalf of others or yourself. You know, talking to God is simply sharing your worries, your needs, your questions, coming before God, and that God is available anytime, any day, at any moment, just to talk to God. I think sometimes we think of prayer as something that is maybe difficult, or maybe thinking, I don't know the exact words to say, and when God just wants to talk to his children. He just wants to hear from you today, child of God. You know that when you get saved, you are born into the family of God. You don't have a relationship with God. You're a child of the Almighty God of heaven, and God wants to hear from his children. He wants to hear from you. The Bible says in the next verses here, it says, or what man is there of you? He's making the relationship and the example here. What man is there of you, whom if you ask, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If your child says, Dad, I'm hungry, here's a rock. Well, what good is that going to do for you, right? And would you not give your child food if they're hungry? No, not if they want their 100th snack of the day. But if they're truly hungry and Dad, I've not had any food today. And you say, man, I'm sorry. Let me help you out. I want to give you something to eat. The next verse, it says, or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, I don't eat snakes, so that's not going to happen for me. I really don't eat fish either, so I don't know if that's a great illustration either. But if you ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent, something that's going to hurt him? I think sometimes we think, well, God, I don't want to bother you with this today. God says, no, I want to hear from you. Say, but God, I have a need today, but, you know, I don't know if you can provide for the need. God says, no, I can provide if you simply just ask. And he says this in verse 11, if ye then being evil, we're sinners, right? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Prayer. It's such an important part of the Christian life, but how often is it neglected to we really spend time with God in prayer as we should? To be honest, it's always a convicting message for me to preach about the subject of prayer because I know this. I know that I could be praying more than what I am already. I know that there is such a power and importance on prayer in my life, but how often do we miss the avenues of prayer and the time to pray because we're too busy to talk to God? You know, church, if we're too busy to talk to God, then we're simply just too busy, aren't we? It's amazing. People are so connected today, aren't they? The phones and the AirPods and the headphones and the something. You go around today. You go in public. What are 90% of people doing? They're on their phones, aren't they? You go around. They're at tables. They're on their phones. You know, I got the joy of going to the DMV this week. That is a joyous place to go that everyone looks forward to. Before I went, my wife said, bring your earphones. I was like, yes, I am. Don't want to hear all the conversations, you know? People are so connected today, but also so disconnected, right? Try to have a conversation with someone. You've done this before, haven't you? someone's talking while they're walking by, and you're like, oh, hey, they're like, oh, I'm talking right here, you know? People are so disconnected today because they're always busy listening to something, texting or talking to someone else. But how often are we so connected to the things of this world we don't stop and disconnect so we can spend time with God? We spend so much time doing things that keep us busy, and maybe not things that are bad, but we don't take the time to pause and just ask from God. We don't take time to seek after God. We don't take time to knock on heaven's throne and heaven's door and say, God, I just need to talk to you right now. Could you imagine having access to the greatest minds and knowledge in the world? The greatest minds and knowledge in the world. And you could tap into the greatest wisdom that has ever walked on the face of this earth. And you had a question. You needed a question answered. You needed some wisdom or knowledge. And by the way, I'm not referring to the internet, the place of lies and debauchery, the filth of this world that is found there. You think, well, I saw on the internet, it must be true. You might want to fact check your source there. But can you imagine having access to the greatest minds and the knowledge of this world, someone that you could talk to, you could go to find the deepest answers for life's questions, and not talking to that person? I'd have some questions for them, wouldn't you? That'd be simply like having access to God in heaven and not asking from Him, right? They'd be like having access to God where we can talk to God anytime, any moment, and there's a God that knows everything, everywhere. There's nothing that God does not know. But how many times do we not even ask God? We don't seek His direction. We don't ask for God's wisdom. You could put the greatest minds of this world all together, the greatest IQ, the greatest inventors and mathematicians and leaders of this world, and put them all together. They have nothing in comparison to the knowledge of God. But yet we look at people and go, oh, wow, they've got all the letters after their names, a PhD and all the stuff. But we have a question in life and we go, man, I don't know what to do. Well, Christian, we don't know what to do. We know what we should be doing then is going to God and saying, God, I need to hear from you. I don't know what to do with this decision. Can you imagine having access to the greatest strength in this world? The greatest military power, strength, and weapons, the greatest defense in all the world, but not tapping into that strength. You find the greatest, biggest bodybuilder that can't fit through the door because their muscles are too big, and the greatest strength in the world, and you're struggling to pick something up, and you don't ask someone to help you. Well, that's simply the same as needing strength for your day and not going to God in prayer. And you ever have those days where you think, God, I need you every day, but I really need you today. I don't have the strength to handle this situation. I don't have the brain power. I don't have the fortitude to go through this. God, I need your strength today, now more than ever. You know what God says? He says, child, I just wanted to hear that. You know, the Bible says, when I am weak, then He is strong. If we understand, too many times we think, we're the strong ones, and then I'll go to God when I've got nothing left. Instead of the other way around, when we go to God and say, God, I know that I'm weak. I know I cannot do this on my own. God, I need you. Because God is the source of all strength, that He is mighty, that He is powerful, the God that can part the ocean, that brings the rain down from heaven, the God that can raise the dead. That's a powerful God that we serve, church, today. But how many times do we not tap into that source of power? It's kind of like trying to drive your car on empty with no gas, or you didn't plug it into the wall the night before. However, you get the fuel for your vehicles. It's like trying to drive your car on empty and it's broken down on the side of the road and you go, I don't know what happened. I have no idea what happened. And you forgot to get the source of the power to run your vehicle. How many Christians today are running on empty? Running on empty, broken down on the side of the road, and God says, child, if you just ask, if you just come to me before you're broken down, before you're empty, before you've made a mess of things, that you came to me and said, God, I need your strength today. God, I need your wisdom today. Just by the words of God alone, God created everything that you see. God spoke everything into existence. He spoke and it appeared. God spoke and everything, it's rotating and on its axis and orbiting just perfectly how God put it in place, because we serve a powerful and an almighty God. But how many times do we think, God, I know I serve a powerful God, but can God take care of my situation? I'm not trying to make light of your situation, but in comparison to everything that God has and can do, our situation is small. I'm not saying it's small to you, but in the eyes of God, God can do anything. Do you believe that, church? God can do anything. God's strength is immeasurable if we'll just simply tap into the power of God. But too many times, Christians, we're running on empty. We leave God alone. We're too busy for God to start the day. And you get ready and you grab your stuff and you run out the door and say, God, I've got a busy day. I don't know if I can do it. But we didn't stop to spend time with God that day. Can you imagine having access to the greatest doctors and medical minds of this world and medicines and all of that, and you have a health problem? You have a health need, and in the world's eyes, it is hopeless. There is no healing. There's no hope for your illness. Could you imagine not going to that person that could have the answer for the cure for your health need? Wouldn't you go to anybody? If someone said, if you pick up the phone, we can cure your illness, wouldn't you call them? If they said, if you go to the hospital here, they can help you with this, wouldn't you go? Oh, I'd go in a moment. But then how many times do we not tap into the power of God, the healing power of God that can raise the dead? Amen? The God that can raise the dead, the God that can heal any sickness, that confounds the doctors and the medical minds of this world, to where the doctors say, I don't know what happened, but they're healed. Well, that's God, isn't it? How many times do we simply not seek or ask or knock looking after God? Prayer is seeking. It's asking. It's entreating. Prayer is simply talking to God. Sometimes we think that prayer is you know, having some kind of flowery prayer, or maybe like some magic spell where you've got to say something just a certain way. Now, there is definitely some needs to come into God in prayer, but prayer is simply you, child of God, getting alone with God. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. When you're driving, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you face an issue at work, whatever the time may be, God is never too busy for you. Isn't that incredible? God is never too busy for you. He's never too busy for me. But sadly, how many times are we too busy for God? So God, I'm too busy trying to figure it out on my own. And God says, I'll help you if you just ask me. I've got wisdom. I've got direction for you. I've got strength. If you'll just come to me, I'll help you. There's no sickness that God cannot heal. There's no problem that's too big or too difficult for the Lord. There's nothing that God cannot do. Do you believe that, church? There is nothing that God cannot do. There is no one that's too backslidden from God that God can't save them and God can't turn their heart around. I know that there's the will of man, that free will of man, that God will not force in that free will, but there's no one that God cannot save. There's no one that God will not forgive if we'll simply just go to God in the power of prayer. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 17, it says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. When you pray, do you truly pray believing that there is nothing too hard for God? Just a few verses later in that same passage in Jeremiah 32, 27, it says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah posed that question, and then the Lord returned and said, Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is no, church. There is nothing too hard for God if we'll simply go to God in prayer. It's been said before, you've heard it, every need is a prayer need. Every need is a prayer need. Christian, what you're facing this morning, it's a prayer need. Maybe your need this morning is a matter of salvation. You don't even know the Lord as your Savior. That's a prayer need as well. The Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. to the glory of God the Father. You call on God's name and He will give you that gift of eternal life. But you must ask, you must call out to God in prayer. There is nothing too hard for God. But too many times, God does not work because we're not asking. Too many times, God does not work because we're not seeking after Him. Too many times, God is not working because we're not knocking. We're not seeking after God. We're trying to do it in our own power and our own strength. Do you ever get weak? You ever get discouraged? You ever get defeated? You ever get tired of yourself? I want to ask for a raise of hands, right? You ever think, man, I failed the Lord again. Every need is a prayer need. Every need is a prayer need. The biggest needs in your life are the reasons you and I need to be praying more. If we would get on our knees in prayer, God, I believe that God would turn our country around. I believe that there's nothing that God cannot change without the power of prayer. And America must turn back to God. Our country is a mess. People turning away from God and fighting and riots and just so much unrest. Why? Because people need to be turned back to the Lord. But Christians must get serious about praying and turning back to God. I want to give you a few brief points this morning. Number one is this: pray for God's will. When you pray, pray for God's will. Never pray outside of the will of God. God will never do anything that goes against His will and the Word of God. Pray for God's will to be done. In the previous chapter, we see the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. This is not a prayer for us to repeat, but a pattern, an outline for us to follow. And the Bible says in here, Matthew 6, verse 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." When you pray, pray for God's will to be done. Right? Sometimes I'm guilty of it, as maybe you are as well. God, I want you to do this. And we're almost giving out our demands to God instead of requests and saying, God, your will be done. You know that God's will is different than our will sometimes, right? You ever known that to be true, that God's will can and many times seems to be different than our will? God, I pray for your will to be done with this job situation. God, I pray for your will to be done with my family situation, with my financial situation, whatever it may be. God, I pray that your will be done. You see, God's not a genie in the bottle where you say, all right, I've got my wishes and you have to do whatever I tell you to do. Sometimes I think as Christians, we think that. And we say, well, if I rub the lamp, the genie comes out and poof, he's going to give me anything I want, no questions asked. It doesn't work that way. Thy will be done. God will never go against His will and His word. So Christian, today pray for God's will to be done. Number two is this: pray with a clean heart. Pray with a clean heart. How many times do we come to God and we come asking from God, but our sin is hindering God from hearing our prayers? In Proverbs 15:29, the Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." He heareth the prayer of the righteous. You know this, parents. You have a child that's been obeying and one that's been disobeying. One that's been saying, yes, mom, yes, dad, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, throughout, doing exactly what you asked them to do. And you have the other child that seems to be the Antichrist. And they're having the most miserable, wicked day you can imagine. And they both come to you and ask a request from you. Which one are you more inclined to answer? So, well, that's playing favors. No, it's not. Blessings come from obedience. Chastisement comes from disobedience. And the ones that are obeying are the ones you want to do more for those, don't you? How much more your Heavenly Father, does He not want to give good gifts to His children as well? Come with a clean heart. God heareth the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The Bible says His ears are open unto the prayer of the righteous. You know that God sees you, everything you do? That's a convicting thought, isn't it? He knows the thoughts, the intents of our heart. And these children that are walking with us, I want to bless you even more. The righteous, the effectual, fervent prayer of a what? A righteous man availeth much. Too many times we come to God with dirty hands. And we're asking from God, and God says, you need to get some sin confessed. has nothing to do with your salvation, has everything to do with your relationship with God being right. I hope you come to God on a regular basis and say, God, forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me, forgive me, help me, Lord, to do right. You cleanse your heart and get things right with God, and God hears the prayer of the righteous. Too many times God doesn't hear us because our sin has hindered His hearing our prayers. Pray for God's will to be done. Pray with a clean heart. And then number three, pray with faith. Pray with faith. How many times have we been guilty of coming to God and saying, God, I have a need, and Lord, I need you. And we're asking and pleading from God, but there's that lack of faith. There's that doubt. There's the, I know God can, but. And we come to God without faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. The whole premise of prayer is based on faith. I'm praying to a God that I cannot see. I'm praying to a God that I cannot audibly hear. I'm praying to God that I've not physically seen something He's done, but I believe by faith that God is real. I believe that by faith God is alive. I believe by faith that God is powerful and that God can do anything. Do you believe that, Christian? Do you believe truly that God can do anything? Let me ask you this. What about that impossible situation that you face in your life? Everyone has those, don't you? There's an impossible health need in the world's eyes. There's an impossible family situation problem. And it seems to be that there's nothing that you can do or anyone can do. So what do? Do you give up? You throw in the towel and say, forget it. Or do you get on your knees in prayer? And you keep praying and you keep praying and you keep praying to the God of heaven. The Bible says, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Too many times we're asking and not receiving because we truly don't believe that God is going to answer the prayer. I've given you the illustration before, but the Lord really got a hold of my heart about it one day. But it was winter time, and our daughters, they think that Christmas equals snow. And praise the Lord, we live in an area that doesn't get snow all the time, but those few times a year is a lot of fun. And so my daughters, they think that it's going to snow at Christmas time around there. That's what you see in the movie. I don't know what they think with that. And I remember them praying. They said, Lord, and I forget how exactly it went, but Lord, I pray that you would make it to snow. And they ran to the window and opened it up and said, it's not snowing yet. Forgive me for this, but I said, no, honey, it doesn't work that way. It's not on the forecast, because the weatherman always gets it right. Yeah. Simple, childlike faith. I prayed and I asked God and I throw the window curtains open and say, is it snowing yet? Believing that if you ask God, that God can and will answer your prayer according to His will, not the genie in the bottle. But do you truly believe? I pray and I believe with all my heart by faith that God can and will answer according to His will, according to His timing, and according to His way. But too many times we sit back and go, oh, God, would you please? Oh, I don't know if He's really going to do that. I don't know. It doesn't make sense in my mind how God can answer the prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. What's the prayer need on your heart? What's the prayer need in your life that you've been praying for, maybe for months, for years, maybe for decades? Maybe that person, that personal need that you have in your life that you've been praying. Christian, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Ask and seek and knock. Maybe today you're the one that you said, I've done everything but pray. Again, too many times we try every earthly avenue. I've worked overtime, I've researched on Google and on Wikipedia. I've worked 20 hours a day. I've done everything that I can. And when I'm done, I'll pray. Why don't we turn that around? If we spent less time laboring and more time praying, I'm not saying don't labor, right? God wants you to labor. God wants you to work. There's a part that you have as well. But if we would spend less time being busy and more time on our knees in prayer and see what God can do, realize that we have direct access to God in heaven through Jesus Christ, our mediator, our advocate that goes between for you and me, and that you can go to God any moment, any day, any time. Ask and seek and knock. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. As we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll begin our invitation time. Again, maybe your need today is that matter of salvation. Do you know?